From the very beginning, from the time that God created man, God has always given men work to do. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 15, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And then after mankind fell and into sin, still a part of what man was expected to do in chapter 3 and verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree from which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. We are expected as people to work. And as Christians, we are told that we have to work. In 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in verse 11. It says to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. And to attend to your own business. And work with your hands just as we commanded you. In fact, if we don't work, we're being disobedient to God. And not fit for His service. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you, not because we did not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you will follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, he is not to eat either. For we hear that there are some among you leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. But such persons we command and exhort in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to work in quiet fashion, and they eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. We are expected to put effort in, and it shouldn't be surprising. Our God that we serve is a God who works. God's work is evident from the very creation that He made this world that we live in. In Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and in verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood by what was made, so that they are without excuse. God shows Himself in the efforts that He made in creating this world. And those works declare His glory. In Psalms 19, and starting at verse 1, it says, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours out forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. And those who appreciate God look at what God has done and studies them. In our scripture reading, we had read from Psalms 111. And take a look at verses 1 and 2. Psalms 111 says, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright, in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. And that's an interesting phrase that's mentioned there. We study God's works. We want to be like the God that we serve. And so we study the things that He has done. Over in Psalms 8. Psalms 8 and starting at verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained? What is man that you have thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crowned him with glory and majesty. You made him to rule over the works of your hands, and have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. God made all this and put us in charge to do and manage the works that he has done. But God's works are not just in his creation. God actively continues to work in the things that he does in showing care for his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 17, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor takes a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widows, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. God takes care of those that are less fortunate. Even those who are strangers, God takes care of his people. He takes care of his creation. Again, back at Psalms 111. Psalms 111, starting this time at verse 3, it says, splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will be remembered his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. God's involved. God works. God cares. The things that we take for granted in our day-to-day lives is because God's involved in our lives. He watches over his people. In Psalm 68, Psalm 68, and starting at verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord and exalts before him. A father of the fatherless, a judge for the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. You confirmed your inheritance when it was parched. Your creatures settled in it, and you provided in your goodness for the poor, O God. This is the God that we serve, the one who takes care of all his people, even the least fortunate of us. We should think about the fact that not only should we have studied God's works and his creations, but we need to learn from God's example to imitate it as well. In 3 John, verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. But God is not only involved in taking care of his world, he has taught us what we need to know. In Psalms 19, Psalms 19, and starting at verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the law, Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the drippings on the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And so God shows his works in the teachings that he also gives us. If you go back to Psalms 111, this also is mentioned there. In Psalms 111, this time starting at verse 7, The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever, and they are performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. What God has written, God has put down for our learning. As Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and in verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and in verse 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." These are where we gain our life, is through God's words and God's teachings. And so they too need to be studied. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." God works in his creation, in his care for his people, in the message that he brings, and he expects us to work by imitating his care, by studying the things that he's taught us. We are to be and be a people who become like the God we serve. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 16. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and given us eternal comfort and hope and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen you in your hearts in every good work and word." Those are the foundations. God's works, God's word, is then the foundation from which we build to do our good works. Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. "Therefore prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which was yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address as Father the one who is impartially judges you according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during your time on this day on earth." God is calling us to be like him. God works in his efforts to take care of us, to teach us. We are to be like him. We are to be holy like him. Be involved in good works as well. That means then we need to remove the sin from our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." Here's how we then become useful to God. Prepared for every good work. We have to clean up our own lives and be prepared. In order to do that, we need to learn from our Bibles. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So God's in His teachings not only shows us what we need to do, but He prepares us so that we can be equipped to work as well. That means we need to learn from our Scriptures. And Titus tells us in Titus chapter 3, at verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who believe God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These are good and profitable for men. And down in verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. This is the way when people see us doing the works of God, that God gets praised for the efforts that He's done for us. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. God teaches us what we need to do. He shows us how to do it. And then when we do it, it's not praise to us, it's praise to God who sets out the standards. And so therefore we need to be eager to work. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave Himself to us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. We should be people who are eager to do it and ready to do it. In chapter 3, verse 1 of Titus, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Because we're not doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for God Himself. This is our service to God. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have been always obeyed, or have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Or as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. God expects us to work. God has given us efforts to do. He's shown us what we need to do. He teaches us about it. But we have limited time in which to accomplish those things. Jesus understood in His life that He had very limited time. But He was determined to make the most of it. And in John chapter 9, John chapter 9 and in verse 4, He says, we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. There's a time when we leave this world. We don't have time to anymore to do the works of God. But while we have the opportunity, while it is day, we need to do the things that accomplishes God's will. And so our memory verse is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is expecting us to work. It's nothing that He Himself does not already do. Man is always expected to work. Not just in physical work for our food, but doing the works of God so that God's goodness might be spread through this world. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like to pray with your brother in behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of Selected.